I'll give you a little bit of a, since we don't have our screens, I'll give you some outline and direction. You can start turning there. If you find Hebrews and Luke, you're going to be way ahead. You're going to have it. I'm not going to bounce you that far. Two, three, 6, 10. We're going to be all over Hebrews, but you won't have to find a lot in your Bible. If you can find Hebrews and Luke, you're going to be in really good shape. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, in many ways, is like learning a foreign language. I remember earlier on in my salvation, in my time with Christ, early in the Bible reading part, I treated Hebrews kind of like Leviticus. I mean, it was just one of those things that was just, it was thick, it was hard, and I was trying to get Jesus under my feet, you know what I mean? And so I know that Hebrews can be that way, and so that's why I'm trying to connect some of the dots through Hebrews to give us a bit of an overview, a general flavor to show you that it's nothing to be scared of. Keep digging in. It's one of the most amazing books in the New Testament. They're all inspired, but man, is there some riches in Hebrews. You would have to admit that maybe one of the reasons we don't do a lot with Hebrews is because there is so much Old Testament in it. I mean, it is chock full of Old Testament teachings. The priesthood and Melchizedek. I mean, it is just one after another. There are actually Old Testament verses that they quote more than once in Hebrews. So there is a ton of Old Testament, which then tells us what? Don't unhitch from the Old Testament. Do not unhitch from the Old Testament. It is still in play, totally in play. I can give you half a dozen verses in the New Testament that teach us that. Do not unhitch from the Old Testament. It is all one story, the story of a God who loves us through our Savior Jesus Christ. It is His picture that it paints. So Hebrews is an amazing book. So just to familiarize, before I start at Hebrews chapter 2, let me read our foundational portion in Hebrews chapter 6, the nugget, the first thing we started with here about going on to maturity, and pick up on some of these words because I'm gonna focus in on some of this thinking of sharing what it talks about when we share something, what it talks about when it talks about falling away. We're gonna flesh that out today. But let me begin, just read Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Let me just read that, and you just hear some of these words. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. That just sounds foreign. And go on to maturity. That's what we need today. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That is our basic salvation. Repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. He's saying, it's okay, you're there. I think you're there. Leave that and go on. And of instruction about washings, baptisms, the laying on of hands and all that entailed, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. We will all rise from the dead to eternal life or eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Why does he say that? Because not only is salvation of God, growth and maturity is of God. Verse 4. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then they've fallen away, that's up, that's leaving, to restore them again to repentance. It's impossible, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. And then he gives this illustration. The land that is drunk, the rain that often falls on it, produces one of two kinds of crops. A crop useful to those whose sake it is cultivated, it receives a blessing from God. But if the rain falls on it and it bears thorns and thistles, it's worthless, near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. That's not a Christian. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. There is that where we started, that foundational place with its sharing and its kind of tasting, and then there's a falling away, and then this thing that says the rain falls on you and you either produce one thing or another, but we think you're saved. So it's in question, but the writer says we think you're saved. But there's this sharing and this tasting, this bit of enlightenment, and then a falling away. So those words are going to be critical for our discussion this morning. When he says if they've fallen away, it's impossible to restore them again to repentance, he's not saying you can lose your salvation. He's saying they either were or they weren't. And that's really good news in this, because if you were losing your salvation, you would never get it back. It would be impossible. So it's really good news that you understand this. He's saying you never were, but you have tasted and shared. And so we are doing that this morning. We are all in this room tasting and sharing, and the Holy Spirit is here moving, and the Word is being proclaimed, and you can feel the power of it in your heart and in soul. You're either happy with it or you're not. Your eyes are being enlightened. You're kind of learning some things, seeing some things. That doesn't mean you're saved. That just means you're sharing in this life, in this moment, this occasion, this season with us. And should you fall away, should you hear it and just walk right on by and go, yeah, hey, I think I believe that, yeah, and just keep right on going and living life how you want, you are crucifying Christ afresh. And what he means by that is that you're doing exactly what they did in the Gospels. When Jesus walked the streets, when he taught 5,000 people, when he healed people on the streets, when women with blood issues touched him and he healed them, when he raised people from the dead, when he threw demons out of people, and everybody was there tasting of it, sharing in this Holy Spirit movement, sharing in this thing that was just blanketing all of them. They were sharing of it. And then they crucified him. And so what he's saying is, if you're going to be around it, under this big canopy of grace and of the Word of God and the power and the Spirit and all this that's going on, if you're going to be under this canopy and then walk away, you're crucifying him again. You're doing just what they did in that play we watched last night. You're under it, feeling it, seeing it, going, my gosh, he just healed my son, my gosh, that's... And then you walk away, and pretty soon you chant, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and you are crucifying him again. You are falling away. You are hearing it and leaving. You are not saved. But the good news is, many of those who did just that came back in Acts and said, oh my gosh, what did we do? And he said, you just crucified the Savior, but you can still follow Him. He will still forgive you and receive you. That's the good news. This is not having salvation and then losing it. This is you are or you're not. And we all are under this blanket this morning of the Spirit and the Word and our eyes learning, our minds feeling, and the power. We're all under that this morning. Whether we're all saved or not, that's up to each one of us and God. But should we just hear it and walk away? We're doing just exactly what they did in the Gospels. And you and I love to go, well, if I'd have been there and I'd have saw that, there's no way I'd have... And yet it happens every Sunday. Churches all over, they preach the Gospel. They preach the message. They preach something of a deep truth of God. And people go, man, that was really good. And then they walk out that door and live life however they want. They're doing it again. That's what he's saying. They're doing it again. And you're doing it again. So here's the thought. Here's this main nugget that I hope that when we're done, you guys are so proficient in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 that when people start talking about this, you just go, but let me tell you what that means. Sharing, or believing entirely. And sometimes we do share and we believe. Many of us here are sharing, we're sharing, and many of us do have Christ. But that doesn't mean you do, because you're sharing, you're under the blanket. Doesn't mean you have Him. So, Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at a couple verses on sharing. Hebrews is this way. I mean, it's just like you think you heard that word somewhere before. Yeah, you did about two chapters earlier and then two chapters before that. And so he gives us these themes, these teachings. And then he talks for a while, and two chapters later it shows up again. And you got to connect these dots. That's what I mean by connecting the dots. So let's talk a little bit just for a minute here about what it means, how this word sharing is used. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. And this is just talking really about Jesus coming to earth and becoming a human being with flesh and blood just like us, right? So it says, because of his brothers, since therefore the children, that's us, these people, since the children share in flesh and blood, and we do, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So because us, humanity, the children of God, the people, just general humanity, because we all have flesh and blood in our bodies, that's how we're made, he himself took that upon himself. Read Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of humanity. So he became flesh and blood like us. He's not flesh and blood like us right now. He's got a heavenly body. But he, for a season, for an occasion, he became just like us with flesh and blood, that through death, through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So devil had the power of death, and there was no way to go, so Jesus came and he shared flesh and blood with us to die for us, to unchain us from this fear of death that most humans have, a fear of death. But no longer, you don't have to, because Jesus died and unhooked the chains. No one has to fear death. No one has to fear it. We step from this life into that life. We're alive, and we're more alive in that life than we'll ever be here. No one has to fear death on this planet. That's what he's saying. So Jesus shared for an occasion. He took this but it's not permanent. He just shared it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in God's house. Now, so we, the holy brothers, and I really kind of think this holy brothers here are these Jews who are confessing, they are confessing to know Jesus, they are confessing to believe in Jesus. It says they share, but this it's all of us. What we share is a calling, an invitation. That's what this word means, this calling. We share that invitation. Everybody here in this room shares an invitation from God, a calling. Some of us confess to know Him, and some of us may not, but we all share an invitation to know Him, to be in Him, and to have Him in us. We all share that. We have been invited in. That's amazing, isn't it? Everyone here has been invited in. And these, you who confess, he says, you confess Jesus, but he says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high. I want you to consider him. So he's trying to take them a little bit deeper, and he's going to tell them he is even more impressive, more valuable, greater than our ancestor Moses. That's a huge statement. That's a huge statement. But I wanted you to see this, that we share in a heavenly calling, a heavenly invitation. Now this is going to be very key. We're going to move into some things that are very key. Hebrews chapter 3, same chapter right here, verse 6. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Moses was faithful as a servant, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. He's so much more. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. So we share this calling, this invitation, and we have a confession of somehow knowing him or confessing him. But now he comes to this weird little sentence here, and he says, Moses was faithful over the house of God as a servant, but Jesus as a son. And here's a nail this down. We are his house if we hold fast this confidence and this confession and this boasting, this vibrant profession of hope. If we hold it fast, we are his house. So now we have this confession, we have this sharing, but the house are those who hold it fast, who won't let go of it. So I'll teach you your first Greek word, echo. Can you say echo? Echo. It means I have. It's very simple, very simple. Echo, I have. That's what it means. And so what this author has done is taken this simple word and added something to the beginning of it, and he's using it both places here. So the sharing, when he says share, is I have, and he puts something before it with it here. It says we all have. We're all sharing. It doesn't mean I'm saved. It means we're all sharing this morning together. And then when he gets to hold fast, you can see how hold fast is very similar to I have. And this is not, it's so much more, it's really intensely saying, I don't just have it, I have it. I'm holding fast, not letting go. Nothing's going to take it out of my arms. I have it. Same word, same basic echo. I have, we're sharing, we have this nice thing. But if you hold fast, then you really are the house of God. So just because we're sharing this morning doesn't mean you really are the house of God, unless you hold tight and never let them take it away from you. Okay? Same word. So he's using a little word movement here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. If we hold fast, then we are his house. This next part is critical. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to this. We're going to talk about falling away. That part we read in Hebrews chapter 6. It will be in other places as well. He doesn't want them to fall away. Verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now there it is, apostasy. That's that ugly word, apostasy. You've deserted, you've left. You're falling away from the living God. You're deserting the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Same, similar thing. Now, this falling away is unbelief. It is unsaved. If you fall away, you don't belong to him. It says quite clearly here, it is an evil, unbelieving heart. Now, he just told them, you have a confession. You have this sharing going on. And you're all kind of confessing. But then he says, hold that tightly, because if there's an evil, unbelieving heart crops up in you that leads you to fall away, that's unbelief. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 2, for good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And they fall away with an evil, unbelieving heart because they shared in the Spirit. They shared in the moment. They tasted. They had a confession. But unbelief, this inability to distinguish between good and evil. Life went on and they still had to stick with God, hold fast to their confession, hold fast to God when evil was knocking on their door. Different things wanted them and they let it go and walked away because of an evil, unbelieving heart, and they will not enter the rest. Did they lose their salvation? No, they never had salvation. They had a confession and a sharing and a tasting. But only those who hold fast the confidence, the confession, are really the household of God. Time will tell. And it doesn't just mean, I haven't seen you for 3 years. Are you still a believer? Are you still in the faith? Are you still, oh yeah, I still believe that, but I don't believe like you guys. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do all that. No, it's obedient and belief. They go hand in hand. It's following close. It's doing what he tells us to do. That's intermingled. That's just faith. Faith to them is obedience. Obedient following. So when you fall away, oh my, it's a really difficult thing. If you're a true believer, if you truly have this Holy Spirit in you, you are His, you won't leave. You'll stay. You'll follow Him because you're a new person. You have His life, His Spirit in you. Apostasy won't. Apostasy leaves. Apostasy has so many influences over them. They drift in and they drift out and they come and they go and they say, yeah, I believe it. I still believe that, but... And they fall away. They leave. They desert God and His family and His brotherhood because of an unbelieving heart, it says right here. And they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And they weren't united by faith. They confessed and they shared, but they didn't have faith. And those that hold fast to the faith and the obedience of it, that's really the household of God. That's what he's saying. Now, Luke chapter 8 is the perfect parable. And this may help us to understand this. And this is Jesus. Luke chapter 8, I'm going to begin at verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. This to me is the perfect parable. I'm just going to say, I don't know who the author of Hebrews was, but they were listening to Jesus. They were somewhere close. I don't know that it was an apostle, but I do know they were listening close. So as I read this little section, you listen for words like falling away, like holding fast. Hold on. Don't let anything cause you to leave, to fall away from the obedient, faithful household of God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus' own words. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and I'm planting handfuls of seed. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Quite clear, right? The word is preached. The devil snatches it away. Unsaved. They can't believe. They've walked out the door and they forgot. They already forgot what they heard. Wow, that was really good, but gone. Quite clear on that one. The next one, verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And we just read that falling away is an evil, unbelieving heart, and this is apostasy. This is the word, again, the apostasy, the deserting, the leaving. And they have no root. There's nothing growing underneath. It's all a sharing on the surface. It's all a sharing of a confession and an invitation. But what happens when time of testing comes? It says here that they believe for a while, and that's for a season. It's for an occasion is what this word means. They believe just for a moment in time, like Jesus came to this planet for a season, for a moment in time. He shared flesh and blood. And these people believe for a season, an occasion. We don't know why, but we've all seen this over and over. People going through a really hard time, bad health, bad marriage, bad something. For a season, they're here, and they're like engaged. And then they fall away. Why? In a time of testing, it says. There's no root. There's no root. Now, if you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. They have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then they have fallen away. This is the same thing. For a season, for a moment, for an occasion, they believed. But then the apostasy, because there was really nothing under the surface, no root growing. So again, you have this apostasy, no root, unsaved. Verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, they're here, they're sharing, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now, cares are worries and anxieties. Riches are their stuff, their possessions, their money, their job. Pleasures are just the things they love to do. They just delight in doing them. And if they stay here for very long, they're not going to be able to do some of them. We take up their time. We tell them they shouldn't do that. Whatever, whatever, whatever. So all these things, just basic life, these people share, have a confession, but worries and anxieties do come, don't they? Possessions or money, things, stuff, delights and desires. It's really funny, this word delights and desires, these pleasures, it's the Greek word hedonism. It's just, I just live for fun. I just live to have fun, to do what I love to do, for my delight and desires. That's the kind of life I want. I just want to have fun. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to have fun. Hedonism. That's this word. That is this word. You just live to have fun. So your Christianity is just a little bit stifling on me, brother. So these things happen. Now, what is really cool about this verse, I don't want to mess you up too bad, but you see where it says here at the end of verse 14, and their fruit does not mature? I'm just going to tell you, that's translative. The word fruit is not in here. I looked it up. The word fruit's not there. And any good commentator will tell you that. That's translative. Since we're talking about fruit, we just said this plant doesn't mature. And that's what we are talking about in Hebrews chapter 6, is it not? Go on to maturity. And since you're talking about fruit, the translator says this plant never grows up in the faith and bears fruit, because that's why I'm planting this spring, because I want to eat. I want the fruit. But these folk never mature. Maybe the fruit, but the plant, the seed is planted, up springs this thing, but it never matures. There's no fruit, naturally. So these same words, again, they fall away, they never mature. They're choked out by cares, riches, pleasures. There's no root in them. They've shared. They're all sharing. The word has been scattered like I'm doing right now. There's just no root going on, but they're all sharing. We're all sharing it. We're all sharing this beautiful, joyful moment. We're all sharing those songs we just sang. We're sharing this occasion. Who will hang on tight? Never let it come out of their arms. Never let the anxieties, pleasures of life, draw them down a road of disobedience, away from the Master, because of an evil, unbelieving heart. See, disobedience is unbelief. If we disobey, it's because we don't believe. It's just what it is. That's exactly how they believed. So they could interchange those two words. The Hebrew writer was listening when Jesus told this parable. I've got one verse to go. Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, do what? They hold it fast. Hold it fast. Same exact thing the Hebrew writer said. They hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. With patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it's just uncanny, really. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. He's begging these people. Look, I think you're saved, but you got to go on to maturity. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, and we all get sluggish sometime, but imitators of those who through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Those with an honest and good heart bear fruit with patience. Patience. We're holding on. And you're not going to get Jesus out of my hands and out of my heart and out of my obedient life. I am going to follow Jesus obediently, and you aren't going to stop me. That's the household of God. And Hebrews and Jesus said, well, we all share. The Word of God falls on all of us. We're all sharing this occasion. We're tasting, says in Hebrews 6, you've tasted the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. It's the Word of God is powerful, and you felt it. The Holy Spirit, it's in this place this morning. The Word of God is going out right now, and I have no idea what He's doing with it. But you're sharing it, whether He's in you or not. But those who love it, cherish it, cling to it, will obey it. Cares and anxieties, I don't care. Pleasures of life, life's just to be fun. Oh, throw that one out too. The stuff, throw that one out. Nothing is more important to us than Jesus. I will follow Him to the gates of hell and back. Christ will build His church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And they will try. But they will try. And you don't just walk out there and go live your life and go, yeah, I believe that. No, no, no. You don't have a disobedient, unbelieving heart. You are locked and loaded with Jesus. And then nothing will get Him out of your arm. Jesus and Hebrews preach the same thing. So, quite appropriately, Hebrews, I'm just going to go back to Hebrews. So if you have your Bible open to Hebrews, just slide on back there. So Hebrews writes things like, and you'll notice it's right in the very next chapter. In this context, think about this. In this context, we are all under this cloud. We are all under this blanket of grace and the Spirit, and the Word of God is being scattered. And we're all sharing in this feel, this move of the Spirit. We're all here sharing a call, sharing an invitation. Almost all of us, I would say, are professing it. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Strive, work, agonize to hold on to your profession, your obedience to the faith, so that you don't fall by the same sort of disobedience. Why? Verse 12, for the word of God, that seed scattered, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is piercing to the division of my soul and of my spirit. It goes into the joints and the marrow of my bones. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of my heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we all will give account. Why must we not only share this moment and this movement, this power, this word, why we must not just share it, why we must take it in our arms and in our hearts and clutch it like it is life and death, walk in obedience to him like it's life and death, as the gates of hell knock the walls of this church, as the anxieties and the cares of life push and pull. And they're powerful. Don't think they're not powerful. Why must you and I clutch onto Jesus, swear before him, I will never, never walk away from you. I will never walk a path on my own. I will serve you. I'll obey you. Why? Because the Word of God goes right into our hearts. And it discerns the true intentions and the motives of why we're here sharing. And the sight of God is revealing. You aren't fooling him. If you are here and you are not clutching him like he is your last gasp of air, he knows. And his word will cut in, and his sight looks beneath the surface, and he sees, and it reveals thoughts and intents. He knows. You are not fooling him. They might fool us, and I've been fooled, but you will not fool him. Ever. Not for a second, not for 5 seconds, not for 5 minutes. He knows. And when you hear the Word of God actually being just broken open and scattered like seed, man, it goes in there and you go, ah! I just want joy. I just want happiness. I just want peace and fun and just come and sing and ah! Why is this doing this to me? It is begging you. The Word of God is begging you. Grab hold of me and don't let go. And God's eyes are looking down into you and he's doing surgery. Not me. I'm just scattering the seed. I don't even have power close to do that. That's what's happening. And that's what he told them. We just finished chapter 3, and here we are in chapter 4. And he said, hey, a bunch of you, you're not going to enter that rest because of disobedience. You've fallen away. You received the good news, it says in chapter 4, verse 6. It says, therefore, you received the good news, you failed to enter. But you shared it. You were here. Oh, the Word of God. You thought you were going to go into that rest, just kind of slide on in, didn't you? Because, well, I've been hanging out with these people. No. No, the Word of God is doing surgery, and God sees, and you are not going into the rest because He knows what's clicking inside of you and what you don't have. What you don't clutch onto. And your disobedience is tipping him off. So, God's word is discerning, and God's sight is revealing, and we've all felt it. We have all been there and felt it. Amen. And what can we do? What are we to do? Hebrews chapter 10. We'll circle back right to where we were last week. Hebrews chapter 10. Remember when I said he starts out with a phrase or a word, and then he jumps two chapters, and then he jumps three chapters, and then he jumps a half a chapter, and you're going, whoa, 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 and I'm connecting dots. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He's still saying it. He's still talking about it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. There it is. Hold fast your confession of hope without wavering, without disobedience, without any sort of wavering. For He who promised is faithful. You clutch on to Jesus. You clutch on to your confession. You obey. You walk out into the gates of hell with everything this life and the devil offers you, and you walk with Jesus because He is faithful. And none of us are perfect. But He is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What are we to do? We are to come together and meet in person. And never neglect that. Ever again. As is the habit of some. Some do this habitually. They just come and go as they please. We are never to do that. Obedient, clinging faith is we meet together so we can encourage one another, because we need each other. Encourage one another to love and to good works. And you do not know who is in your congregation sharing but not clinging to Christ. I don't know. If you do, write a book, will you? Because I don't know who's professing, who's confessing, but who might fall away next year or next month, or a storm may come into their life, or maybe it's just fun and pleasure, and look, I just don't have time for church no more. So we have to come together every time we can, every time we can, not neglecting it as the habit of some are. It's not important. The church is important. The local church is given to us it's absolutely essential that you and I can encourage one another. As you don't know, you're hearing my profession. You're seeing me sharing or tasting together, but you don't know. And the gates of hell come knocking on my door, and his heart starts to tremble. And you may just bring someone who's been here to Jesus, to actually cling to Jesus. We have to. We have to. That is our call. Meet and encourage. True faith will cling to Jesus. Real faith will do this. How do I know that? Because the very next thing he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, you're convinced of things not seen. Faith will, and faith does, read this chapter and see what faith does in the face of all of those things Jesus taught in the parable. Faith will cling. Faith does what Jesus told it to do. So I'll close with this. You stay put, I'll turn. You stay put, I'll turn. So remember I said to you back in Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. That's true faith. He didn't call it faith. He called it holding fast the confidence and the boasting profession of our hope. That's faith, but he didn't call it faith. Faith will, Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction, the convinced confidence of things not seen. That is faith. The true household of God, true believers, hold it tight. They're convicted, convinced of what they don't see, and they boast in the hope. They know it's there. They're assured of the hope. That's real faith. That's what he's saying. That's real faith. I'm just not going to call it faith. It's real faith. That's the believer. That's the true household of God. So I think there's going to be some surprises down the way, don't you? In the last 2 years, the statistics of how many have left a church and not come back are mind-blowing. The statistics of those who once believed the Word of God here and study it and dig into it and want to live it because they love Jesus so much, they are not going to let go of the Word, the seed scattered. Their Savior means way too much more to them than to let the anxieties or the cares or the pleasures or the money or the job or whatever. The statistics of those who are falling away from the Orthodox faith are staggering. And now we've even named it deconstructing progressive Christianity. We need to hold on, man. We need to hold on. And we need to look at each other and say, man, I'm going to be there for you. I am going to be knocking at your door. I am going to be calling you. I am going to be encouraging you. When you're sick, I'm going to be coming around, or somebody here will. Somebody will be calling. Somebody will be knocking on your door. I'm going to encourage you. You might not like it. You may get, oh, here he comes again. You might not like it, but somebody in this church is going to be encouraging you to love and good works. We're not going to let you alone. We're going to beg you to hold fast your confidence, your boasting, and your hope that you profess and that you've shared with us. I know we've all shared that. But only those who hang tightly to the obedience of the word and of the faith to Jesus enter the rest. And many didn't. And God knows. God knows. We will do that. We're a small church, but we are powerful. We love each other. This is our family. This is our family. Every one of those kids, those are our kids. We can do that. Anybody can do that. Any untrained Christian, any young Christian can do that. You can encourage, right? That's true faith. That's true faith, by the way. You're begging for this group to have true faith. Lord, thank you. Not sure why you've written a book that causes us to think and scratch and dig so deep and could have been bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three, and I would have saved me hours. But Lord, it's beauty in digging up your treasures. There's so much beauty in you and begging you to show me. It's beauty in watching your seed grow to mature life. Lord, I pray for every person here right now sharing this moment, I pray every person right now will make a decision in their heart right now. Nothing will move me away from obedient faith that clings to you. Nothing good and nothing bad. Lord, bless us. Please bless us with this hope. Please bless us with this strength. Bless us with this love for you. Thank you for the seed, the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful that you never wavered when you were looking at a cross. Right down the path, there was a cross in front of you. You didn't waver, you went right to it. Thank you. We love you. We want to imitate you. We want to cling, hold fast to every step that you took and every word you said. And we will, if God permits. In Jesus' name, amen.